morning, everybody.
Good morning.
If you guys don't know what we do already, we do foster care, and there's been so many times in that dealing with so many different people with so many emotions that I don't say the right thing, or I don't speak when I should, and that's kind of what this song is about.
Savior, and make I wonder if I could have Summer, Ron, come on up and have a seat right there. Summer, would you come up here, honey? And then that little Willette boy, what's his name? Is Isaac in Sunday school? He is. Could you go and get him real fast? Thanks, Pop. Ron, I'll time you. Oh, yeah, run, seriously. Yeah, see, he's running in the sanctuary. All right, have a seat here, honey. Tell us what your name is and how old you are.
Summer, and I'm six.
Can you all say six? How old are you?
Six.
Six. Summer, do you notice anything different in the sanctuary today?
No.
Okay, well, we moved the table around. We took that big old pulpit out of there. And then we have this up here. Do you know what that thing is?
It's a chair.
It's a chair. Do you know it has a name?
Mm-mm.
It does have a name. Sparky. Is that right? His name is Sparky. And I get to sit in Sparky, but Sparky's a big old throne. Come on up here, buddy. I'm going to ask if you can sit right up there on that stool, right there. Okay? What's your name?
Isaac.
How old are you?
Four.
Okay. Are you really four?
Yes.
How many times can you run around the sanctuary without getting tired?
Seven.
Seven times? How many times can you run around the sanctuary without getting tired?
Seven.
Seven? Why don't you guys take off, both of you, just run around once, okay, and I'll time you. Just run. Just run right around, all the way around. Okay? Need help? There you go. Run! Run! Whoa, he fell down. Go ahead, keep going, Summer. See who gets up here first. Boys against girls. Boys against girls. Seven-year-olds against four-year-olds. Oh, look at that four-year-old go. He's coming. He's gaining on her. He's gaining on her. He's gaining on her. Summer's in the lead. Isaac's right up behind him. Whoop! There he goes down again. All right. Come on, Isaac. We got your consolation prize. Come on. Come on up barefoot, buddy. Go ahead. Come on up. You didn't hurt yourself, did you? No. All right. Take a seat, guys. Take a seat. All right. Now. Are you tired?
No.
Six more times around. Okay, six more times. Are you tired?
No.
All right. Do you guys realize they could run around here seven times?
Yeah.
Yeah. All in favor of letting them run around every Sunday morning when there's old folks trying to make their way with their walkers. Everybody in favor of letting these kids just run wild in the sanctuary? Raise your hand. Okay, just got a couple here. Actually, you know what? I've only been a pastor about 6 weeks. And guess what? Old people don't like kids running in the sanctuary. Did you know that?
Yes.
You know that? Seriously? How about you? Do you know old people like me don't want kids running around the sanctuary? Do you know that?
Yes.
Then why did I have you run around just now? Because you're the pastor and you can do anything you want to do. I'll tell you what. I'm going to hire you guys, all right? Since you're experts at running and you know the difference between running and walking, I'd like you to be my hall monitor, okay? That means no running in the sanctuary on Sunday morning, okay? Sure?
Yes.
How much do you think that job is worth?
A lot.
You think it's worth a dollar? Do you want to be my hall monitor and help remind children that they're not supposed to run in the sanctuary?
Yes.
Okay, here's a dollar for you. Do you think it's worth more than $1?
Mm-mm.
Okay. You say it's worth a lot? You want two? Yeah? Worth more?
Yes.
Okay. You think it's worth more than one?
Mm-mm.
No. Okay. All right, that's good. We already took up the offering, so I guess that money's got to go someplace else. Now, are there any other kids up here that enjoy running in the sanctuary? All over the place, just hands going up. Guys, I'll probably from time to time remind you to slow down or to walk, okay? Because I want to tell you something about old people. When you get my wife's age, if you run into her and knock her over, then there's going to be people visiting her in the hospital for weeks, because they can't just, did you see this kid? He flew, fell down, boom, got right back up, kept running, fell down, boom, got right back up. Because when you guys, when you're 4 years old, you can run all you want, you fall down, you get up, nothing. But when you're my wife's age and you fall down, it really hurts bad, okay? So no running in the sanctuary when there's people as old as me or my wife's age, okay? Is that all right with you? Okay, and I paid you well, haven't I?
Yes.
Yeah, all right. Think it's worth more?
Yes.
Jack Calder, can you help me out? All right, thanks, kids. Go ahead and have a seat. All right, now I want to bring up a couple others. April and Bob Knapp. Make your way on up here. April and Bob. When are we going to get to the sermon? We're going to get there. But remember, guys, it's never going to be like this again after Palm Sunday. Palm Sunday is it. We're going to have the Last Supper. This is just all locker room talk. Okay, we're going to have the Word of God, and the Word is going to come powerfully. But it's all about getting to know that four-year-old by name so he likes being in God's house. Because Jesus said, don't push those little children away. Don't make them mad at me. Don't go using my name in vain, talking about straightening up in my house if I didn't tell you to treat them that way. I think you can buy friends, you know, with just a little bit of honey. You can buy friends, you know, those little kids, you know, just pay them what they're worth. And she said she's worth more than three, you know, to walk in the house of God. You know, the house of God is everywhere on the planet, isn't it? Where's the house of God? Is it just this room?
No,
it's all around. But, you know, there's places to run and praise God. You know why it was all right for them to run around the sanctuary? Because nobody was standing in the way where they might get knocked over and get hurt. And they weren't going to bang their heads on anything and get hurt. But besides that, it's fine to run in God's house. As long as nobody gets hurt. As long as you're doing it for worship's sake. Bob, you've got some team members. Can you call them off? Just call them off. And if your name is called, just come on down if you can.
Okay, Diana Knapp.
David
Morris. Angel McGregor. I also have Ken McGregor, who's not here today. Patrice Rosenau.
Patrice.
I have Tim and Robin Willette, who are not here today. Debbie Peterson, who I didn't see come in either. And Bob and Ann Reeves. Ann is sick at home, so be praying for her. And Bob had to run off. He got called in to work. So keep your prayers open for Ann. And another person I don't see here is Stephanie Beal.
In the nursery.
She's in the nursery. And she's working away. And I have one more. It's going to be a ringer. So I haven't decided yet.
The ringers. All right. All right. Then go ahead and have a stand next to your team, okay? Okay. Let me take your bell back, all right? This is, by the way, an elephant bell. Yeah, it is. Well, who do you have there, April?
I've got Scott Cameron.
Come on down, Scott. He's up in the sound room, but he can come down. Who else?
Tom Ronk.
He's in the nursery. Yay.
In the nursery with Stephanie?
Yes.
Huh. Interesting. Yeah.
Dan Clark.
Dan. Come on down, Dan.
Matt Wooden. Mary David. Christy Ronk. Kathy Patterson. Brandon Willette. Heidi Willette. Is Pastor John here? I didn't see him come in.
I didn't.
Okay. I chose Pastor John, Micah, and Hannah Knapp.
Let's get them all together. Now, you see, it may just be a coincidence that so many of your people are out, but, you know, if we had a tug-of-war today, they would win. You don't think so? Okay, would you bring the rope out from the back? No, we don't have a rope today. But you might wonder, what's this all about teams? If you haven't been in on this, if you haven't been listening on the internet, you know what we're doing is spiritual isometrics. We're working different groups of people in the church for the sake of getting ready for Easter morning. And we had a competition between two sisters. They were pastor's kids. And we had challenged Thelma on the first day to do something about getting the spots out of the ceiling. And she's on it. And by Easter morning, you're not going to see spots on the ceiling. In fact, by Easter morning, somehow, I don't know who's taking responsibility for it, but we're going to paint the sanctuary. We're going to have up sound absorption panels so that when you clap your hand like this, instead of lasting for 6 seconds, it's going to be done in about a half second. It's going to be over with so that we have kind of a warm room but not an overpowering room. When you crash a cymbal, it'll just crash and be over. And I'll tell you what, it'll make a difference for people who wear hearing aids, how this room sounds. It'll make a difference when we have a total facelift, how you feel when you come into the house of God. I haven't heard any plans that any of these teams have for what they're going to do to get ready, but we have a little plot twist. I had no control over this. Ann, come on up here. I think Ann's the little sister. The younger one, not the little one. All right. What's the plot twist?
I worked with my sister this week, and we became, we don't do anything without each other.
Okay, in reality show language, they formed an alliance. Thelma, will you come on up here? If you're on Ann or Thelma's team, Ann, why don't you just go on down there? If you're on Ann or Thelma's team, will you just come stand around them? Now, I'm wondering if these team members realized that their captains formed an alliance. I don't know how far we're going to take this theme, if anybody has the opportunity to be voted off the island or not. I hope not. But you'll notice there's been some changes in the sanctuary just since last week or in the whole space. And Ann, why don't you just tell us kind of what you have in plan for this season? Captains, listen close.
You want me to do what?
What you have planned.
Well, Thelma and I got together and we put the table and the rug in the foyer and moved the donuts to the back and de-stained the carpet and put the donut sign up and took the banner down and trimmed the trees. And, you know, we would love to see the front of the sanctuary here maybe done with lots of fabric, maybe some pillars and some beautiful banners going all the way around. And that's just our dream. And, oh, Thelma, you want to tell them the biggest thing in the foyer? Okay, our dream would be a huge chandelier when you walk in the foyer out front.
Did you mention those benches? Did you notice the benches that are out front? Now, Thelma and Louise, no, it's not. What is it? Thelma and Ann are the captains, but they had their men. Jimmy and what's his name? Dennis. Where is Dennis? Jimmy and Dennis set them up. Notice them on your way out today. Benches. There's going to be a lot more that happens between now and the season finale, which is Palm Sunday. And I just received news. Teams, will you come look at your the two teams that are standing on the platform? Just turn around and look at them. They've got a little something they want to say.
We formed an alliance also. And I'm really glad the benches look great and everything looks great that you guys did. And that's awesome that you're doing this, and we have some plans too. We're going to get out, and with April's help and her business, we're going to start doing T-shirts, buttons, business cards that everybody here can hand out to a friend. Something simple they can hand that has the information about the church. So be prepared to do that next week.
All right, let's hear it for all our teams, our two teams, the two alliances. You guys can go ahead and have a seat. God bless y'all. If you're listening via internet, all you got to do is click on that user-friendly interactive map, and you can get here. It's an easy road trip from anywhere in the United States before Easter Sunday. Now, if you would, turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 23. I like the Apostle Paul, and if I wasn't careful, I would preach Paul. But Paul says, don't preach Paul. preach Christ. I didn't pretend to know anything among you other than Christ and Him crucified. But I like the Apostle Paul. Sometimes we hang around a teacher we like so much and we wind up knowing everything the teacher teaches, but we forget the master. And, you know, any teacher that doesn't know how to decrease once he has someone's attention, any teacher that doesn't know how to decrease is getting in the way of God's glory. And we're never to take God's glory from Him. As soon as John the Baptist gets someone's attention, he's supposed to point and say, now follow the Lamb of God. Follow Him. Matthew 23, we're just going to go into the Word, and I'll sit up here in Sparky. Sparky's not going to be here on Easter Sunday in this spot, but Sparky's going to go in the Hall of Fame, and we're going to make Sparky 21st century friendly. There is going to be a time when Sparky is wireless, and when Sparky is wired for sound, and you can sit in Sparky, and you'll be able to get on a laptop and check out the website and see what's happening in the 21st century from Sparky. Doesn't that sound good? You know what? Somebody might say, I don't know about the new preacher. He's kind of weird. Hey, listen, I came to this church and this electric chair was sitting on the sanctuary. You guys had plenty of weird before I ever got here. Matthew 23. This is a powerful passage. We started a few weeks ago in Matthew 25. Then we worked back to Matthew 24. We're going to look at Matthew 23. Because this is an example of when Jesus hammers on people. Jesus never hammers on the people that the church tends to hammer on. Sinners who know that they're sinners. Sinners who are just wondering what to do next. Jesus hammers with all authority on those religious leaders that think they don't need Him. That think they've got this thing handled without submission to Christ. Then Jesus said to the crowds and to His disciples, the teachers of the law and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. So you must obey them and do everything they tell you, but do not do what they do, for they do not practice what they preach. They tie up heavy loads and put them on men's shoulders, but they themselves are not willing to lift a finger to move them. Everything they do is done for men to see. They make their phylacteries wide and the tassels on their garments long. They love the place of honor at banquets and the most important seats in the synagogues. They love to be greeted in the marketplaces and to have men call them rabbi. But you are not to be called rabbi, for you have only one master, and you are all brothers. And do not call anyone on earth father, for you have one Father, and He is in heaven. Nor are you to be called teacher, for you have one teacher, the Christ. The greatest among you will be your servant. For whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and whoever humbles himself will be exalted. Hear the word of the Lord, church. Whoever exalts himself will be humbled. That reminds me of another New Testament passage. It says, humble yourselves in the Lord and He will raise you up. God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. We are going to be a great church. Amen. And we're going to be a great church because we're going to follow the teachings of Jesus. Amen. Wash each other's feet. Serve one another, and you will be great in the kingdom of God. Our friendly competition is simply spiritual isometric. Different parts of the body having some tension purposefully, on purpose, for the purpose of building and strengthening the whole body. Whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and whoever humbles himself will be exalted. I started out my ministry here before you voted to call me to this pulpit. I heard a song that Diana Knapp sang, and it was "On My Knees." And she actually got down on her knees as she was singing that song. There have been a number of other songs sung as that special song before the sermon, and each one I listened to, and in fact, they're all on the internet, and I'm going to continue to listen, because on Easter morning, I want us to put forth the very best we have. And it's not about our egos. It's not about rotation, who got to do it next. You know, some things in the kingdom of God just don't seem fair. It's not about fairness. It's about what's God calling for. What is the master calling for? It's about us being ready, not about us getting our way. Diana picked a good song for this guy to come and preach in view of a call. Afterward, she picked "On My Knees," and we heard about King Jehoshaphat, who called a solemn assembly simply because he didn't know what to do about a threat that came against him. The king of the land humbled himself before the people, and he raised his eyes up to heaven and he said, "Lord, we don't know what to do, but our eyes are upon you." And then God spoke through Jehaziel. How many were here that first Sunday in January to hear that message? Yeah. January 7th, actually. My whole point of preaching that was that if I came to this church, I don't come as a king, but as a coach, but as the head guy with flesh and blood, but the head guy when he knows what he's supposed to do because he has a clear word from God, then he moves forward and he's trained a group of people to just plain trust him and to move forward with him. But when he doesn't know what to do, instead of faking it and pretending like he knows what to do, to humbly call the people to solemn assembly, cast his eyes up to heaven and say, "Lord, we don't know what to do, but our eyes are upon you." And then it might be the drummer, it might be the bass player, it might be the four-year-old child who just has the word of God for us. And when we're all in the right place at the right time and we hear God's word for us, that's what we do. If we will humble ourselves, he will exalt us and he will make us a great church. But he goes on to do some hammering. "Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You shut the kingdom of heaven in men's faces. You yourselves do not enter, nor will you let those enter who are trying to. Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You travel over land and sea to win a single convert. And when he becomes one, you make him twice as much a son of hell as you are. Woe to you, blind guides! You say, 'If anyone swears by the temple, it means nothing. But if anyone swears by the gold of the temple, he's bound by his oath.' You blind fools! Which is greater, the gold or the temple that makes the gold sacred? You also say, 'If anyone swears by the altar, it means nothing. But if anyone swears by the gift on it, he is bound by his oath, you blind men. Which is greater, the gift on the altar? Which is greater, the gift or the altar that makes the gift sacred?'" "Therefore, he who swears by the altar swears by it and by everything on it. And he who swears by the temple swears by it and by the one who dwells in it. And he who swears by heaven swears by God's throne and by the one who sits on it. Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You give a tenth of your spices, mint, dill, and cumin, but you have neglected the more important matters of the law: justice, mercy, and faithfulness. You should have practiced the latter without neglecting the former. You blind guides, you strain out a gnat but swallow a camel. Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You clean the outside of the cup and dish, but inside they are full of greed and self-indulgence. Blind Pharisee, first clean the inside of the cup and dish, and then the outside will also be clean. Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites. You are like whitewashed tombs, which look beautiful on the outside, but on the inside are full of dead men's bones and everything unclean. In the same way, on the outside you appear to people as righteous, but on the inside you are full of hypocrisy and wickedness. Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites. You build tombs for the prophets and decorate the graves of the righteous. And you say, if we had lived in the days of our forefathers, we would not have taken part with them in shedding the blood of the prophets. So you testify against yourselves that you are the descendants of those who murdered the prophets. Fill up then the measure of the sin of your forefathers, you snakes. You brood of vipers. How will you escape being condemned to hell? Therefore, I am sending you prophets and wise men and teachers. Some of them you will kill and crucify. Others you will flog on your synagogues and pursue them from town to town. And so upon you will come all the righteous blood that has been shed on earth, from the blood of righteous Abel to the blood of Zechariah, son of Berechiah, whom you murdered between the temple and the altar. I tell you the truth, all this will come upon this generation. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and stone those sent to you, how often I have longed to gather your children together. Before we finish the 23rd chapter of Matthew, I want you to consider the tone of Jesus' voice. You know, we know him as gentle, patient teacher. We know him as a shepherd who comes to us in the midst of the worst sin that we've committed and picks us up and loves on us. He is love. He is love. God loves us, and love never fails. Love is irresistible. And yet he is hammering, isn't he, in this chapter? He's coming down on the blind Pharisees, the brood of vipers, the hypocrites, the whitewashed tombs. Brothers and sisters, we must never forget Matthew 23. Because as we become a great church, let us never forget that we have become great because we've washed each other's feet. We have become great because the door of the Lord's house is open, even for little kids that run around. All they need is a little teaching. But we're not teaching them legalism. We're teaching them that we don't want to hurt somebody, and we don't want them to get hurt. But the Lord Jesus Christ isn't all about sit straight, sit up straight and keep your mouth shut. Sit in line. Straighten up. That's blind hypocrite Pharisee stuff right there. The house of the Lord is a gentle place, loving place, a place of gentle instruction and kindness. Kindness leads our children to repentance. Amen. Kindness is going to lead the drug addict to wanting deliverance. Kindness is going to lead the con artist to wanting to come clean. Remember the case of Zacchaeus. Remember that wee little man, tax collector, cheated people. He's up in a tree. Why? Because maybe it's because it's Easter Sunday. You know, maybe it's because somebody invited him, or some team with some silly friendly competition handed little Zacchaeus a business card that says, come to Bell Road on Easter morning. And he comes up. He's just a little guy, and he's just standing in the back, and he kind of has to get on his tiptoes, see what's going on. Oh, would the Lord Jesus be here in you, spotting Zacchaeus and saying, Zacchaeus, come on down from your tree. Let's go on over to Sizzler for the salad bar. Or let's hold a Bible study in your home. Because when Zacchaeus meets the real Jesus, he wants to make things right. I think Jesus is laughing the day that he says, truly today salvation has come to this house. To watch Zacchaeus go and make a commitment that I'm going to pay back four times anything I've stolen from other people. I was a cheat. I was lost. But now I'm found. I'm aware of my sin. And I want to work harder running the race that God has marked out for me toward the goal. Harder than I did for the devil. Harder than I did for myself and my own flesh. That song we sang, "I'll Tell the World That I'm a Christian," says, and I know that if you'll trust him, that what he gave me, what he did for me, he'll give to you, he'll do for you. Because the heart of Jesus is that those who are supposedly representing God would seek his lordship and trust him for the words of life and acknowledge the fact that Satan is an expert in religion. And the thief would love to come in here and steal our power and our effectiveness. And it can happen in a moment's notice. If I don't watch my life and my doctrine carefully, I've told my kids, you know, I'm just one decision away from ruining my whole life. From ruining my family, ruining my marriage, ruining the ministry. Just one decision away. I must watch my life and my doctrine carefully. I think that's what integrity is all about. You're the same person on Saturday night as you are on Sunday morning. That's why, you know, if you get on that website, you're going to know most of what is involved. I mean, there's some secrets that my wife and I have. We left our kids in Galt last night. We stayed up here. We slept on the cushions and sleeping bag in my office last night. Left my 15-year-old daughter in the care of her 18-year-old brother. You're in charge, Daniel. Any of you ever, empty nesters, ever have your kids tell you something later on in life that they did and got away with that you never found out about? Raise your hand if you're one of those parents that... wait, where is my honey at? Kathy, where are you? Where? Yeah. Well, she knows a little secret. It's called the nanny cam. Every room is wired. Just kidding, but it sure could have been. Sure could have been. Don't you love this 21st century? The nanny cam, what's that? Well, it's just little cheap little cameras you can put around and videotape and come back and watch later. You know what? God has a cam, doesn't he? There's nothing we can do that he doesn't see. So I want to make sure that even in my most intimate, quiet, secret moments, that I'm fully aware Christ is right there. He's my judge. He's my Lord. He's my Savior. You got to trust my relationship with him. I've got to trust your relationship with him. I'm not called to be your judge. I'm called to get the log out of my own eye regularly on a daily basis before I'm ever going to be any good at taking little slivers out of your eye. But the Holy Ghost can work on all of us at the very same time with the same passage. I want to tell you about this Jesus who hammers religiosity. Look what the heart of Jesus says. I can just sense him crying at this moment. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who killed the prophets and stoned those sent to you, how often I have longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing. Look, your house is left to you desolate. For I tell you, you will not see me again until you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Easter's coming. And I told you, there's a large part of the church around the world that is humbling themselves. They're in the midst of a 40-day season of self-denial. They call it Lent. They've counted, you know, they've gone from Good Friday and they've counted backwards. They're looking for that Good Friday, that Friday that Christ is crucified and remembered in history. And they're saying, I want to get ready for that. Just as we would celebrate Advent and get ready for the Christmas season so that we don't get all swept up in the commerciality of it. You know that for some people, this is what Easter was when they were a kid. Anybody ever get one of these for Easter Sunday? I did. And it was nice if it fit. But if that top button choked me, Easter Sunday was a miserable experience. I'd just kind of sit in the pew. My mother had that long arm of the law. She would pinch us if we didn't sit up straight when we were supposed to and if we were talking or giggling. My older sister and brother, they used to watch the choir during prayer and watch the adults picking their nose during prayer. My sister, she imitated the proper way to pick your nose. She took a Kleenex and she twisted it up like the little old lady she saw in church. You know, our kids come to church and they don't always get it. I didn't get it. All dressed up. That's what church was. Put on your very best clothes and go there to suffer. Sit up straight and suffer. And I looked up at the stained glass windows. We don't have any here. But they told stories. And I look at Jesus. And he's walking outside in a long flowing gown. And there's a river. And golly, they're wearing sandals. And here I am sitting in the house of God, miserable. Listening to somebody talk like this. Praying in a voice like this. That was my childhood experience. You know, I still had a good time. God still met me in the song, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. He still met me. He still got a hold of me. Easter Sunday, I want you to be ready. Put on your Sunday best. Start on the inside. Whitewashed tombs might look like this and be just full of all kinds of lust and greed and jealousy and anger, bitterness, secret and shameful sins on the inside. But outside it looks pressed and proper. And it might say, tell those kids to quit running in the house of God. You know what I'm saying? What did Jesus say to us? Clean the inside first. I like one of them said, we're called to catch the fish. God will clean them. You like that?